Hello, and welcome to the New Classical FM's tribute to the life and legacy of violinist and music director Jean Lemon.
You know, her legacy was assured well before she'd left. It was more than apparent in all of the things she built. First of all, she had built a core of extremely loyal and dedicated musicians who were not only dedicated to the organization, but to their art and to period music performance. She had built extraordinary connections in the community, whether it be with donors and institutions, but also within the artistic community. She had grown through an education initiative that had brought new performers and artists to this form of the art, and had created a whole new generation of Baroque and period musicians, many of whom who've now stayed and remained with the orchestra and grown within the orchestra. And essentially, she transformed many, many people that she touched.
That was David Kilburn, chair of Tafel Music's board of directors, speaking about Jean Lemon on the occasion of her passing earlier this week. Before David, we heard her performance with Linda Melstedt and Tafel Music of the opening movement of Bach's Concerto for Two Violins, which Jean personally held to be, quote, the most perfect piece of music ever written, end quote. I'm Kathleen Kajioka of the New Classical FM, and this is a special edition of A Little Night Music dedicated to Jean Lemon. News of her death at the age of 71 has stirred international mourning, but nowhere is her passing felt more keenly than right here in Toronto, which was her home and creative center for decades when she was music director of Tafel Music. As someone who was welcomed by her into her orchestra to make music with her for many years, it is my privilege to host this tribute tonight. Over the next 4 hours, we'll hear from many voices, each of whom had a unique relationship with Jean. They'll help illuminate who she was, her accomplishments, and how it is that they are so abundant and far-reaching. And of course, we will steep ourselves in what she was all about, the music. We have a full lineup of selections from Tafel Music's extensive catalog, and we'll start right now with Telemann. Tafel Music under Jean Lemon with Amorous Sighs for the Princess Dulcinea by Georg Philipp Telemann. Now, there's a composer, Telemann, whom we wouldn't hear much at all in Toronto's concert halls before Tafel Music emerged on the scene. From the start, they brought something new to familiar pieces and dusted off composers and works that had a lot more to offer than they'd been given credit for. They just needed the right approach. Opera Atelier co-founder and director Marshall Pinkowski remembers the first time he and his wife, Jeanette Lajeunesse-Zing, encountered Jean and Tafel Music as young dancers in the early 1980s.
You know, our relationship happened very unexpectedly. Jeanette and I went to a concert that was being given by Tafel Music when they were still in that little church in the middle of the Eaton Center. And we didn't know what to expect. We didn't realize it was a period orchestra. Someone had given us tickets. And we were flabbergasted as dancers when we saw what seemed like a large orchestra walk out, tune, and then launch into some gorgeous music with no one conducting. And for us, this was an epiphany. We were flabbergasted. You know, you live with a conductor as a dancer. And we were watching and watching, thinking, how is this happening? And gradually realized the attention kept turning toward the violin section and Jean's that incredible vigor and athleticism of her bowing. We started to realize it was coming from her, but being shared throughout the orchestra. And for us, that just sort of became a motif of Jean with Tafel Music, Jean working with us, someone who was strong, someone who was able to lead and take control, but at the same time, always with the grace of stepping back and making certain that everyone still was an integral part, never being the dictator, but always being the person who makes certain that the big picture doesn't get lost.
An Allegro from the Concerto Grosso in A minor by 18th century English composer Charles Avison, one of the many obscure composers unearthed by the early music movement and given representation here and internationally through recording by Tafel Music. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. This is A Little Night Music on the New Classical FM. Our tribute on the death of Tafel Music director Jean Lamon continues after the break. And when we come back, Tafel Music Chamber Choir Director Ivars Torrens and former Managing Director Audie Lockie share their memories of their first day with Jean and Tafel Music. The opening movement from Vivaldi's Gloria, Tafel Music with their gorgeous chamber choir led by Ivars Torrens, who's been with Tafel Music almost since the beginning when he was the group's one and only violist. Tafel Music was founded by oboist Kenneth Solway and bassoonist Susan Graves in 1979. It was Toronto's first Baroque period performance ensemble, and after a couple of years, they were looking for a violinist to be their music director. Jean Lamon, born and raised in New York State, had recently returned to North America as one of this continent's first early music specialists after years studying with the pioneers of the movement over in Amsterdam. She first came as a guest, and then they gave her the job as music director. In 1981, she arrived in Toronto with her partner, cellist Christina Mahler, and they got started. Here's Ivars.
In those years that I was in the orchestra as violist, and then after that, is just totally remarkable, because I still remember so clearly that day, that sunny summer day in 1981, when the small group of us, with Kenny Solway, our founder, and Susan, and Charlotte, and myself, and Jean, Christina, sat down in the back garden of Trinity St. Paul's Church outside in a little semicircle and just started talking about what we want to do. And we were all young and passionate, because we all studied in Europe with the people that we admired in terms of Baroque performance practice. And we were, I guess, fearless or dumb, naive, I don't know. But we had this conviction, and Jean had it, I think, the strongest, that we could be as great as any of the European period instrument ensembles. And we didn't consider what obstacles we would have. We just, through our passion to perform this music and share it with first our Toronto audiences, but then further afield, that kind of drove us. And Jean, I got to say, Jean and our first managing director, Audie Lockie, were an invincible team.
Oh, I can remember the first day that I started at Tafel Music in a tiny little office adjacent to the steps on Robert Street, Trinity St. Paul's United Church. It was early September 1981, and it was the first day that Jean Lamon was going to be leading a rehearsal. She arrived from Boston along with her partner, Christina Mahler, who was, of course, the principal cellist, the new principal cellist of Tafel Music. So the three of us, who were friends, began our work together on that day. And that's a very happy memory. It was just about 40 years ago.
That was Audie Lockie, and before that, Ivars Torrens. There should be a saying that behind every great arts leader, there is a great administrator. Audie Lockie was that for Jean Lemon, as was her successor, Tricia Baldwin. Audie Lockie was Tafel Music's managing director from those first days in 1981 until 1999, and in those years worked with Jean to realize their wildly ambitious vision. But it all started with those humble beginnings, just a few musicians in a downtown church.
One of the most fond memories I have of Jean is watching her and the expressions on her face as somebody else played a solo. And I felt more connected to the orchestra, and I felt more connected to her in seeing the joy in her that was so obvious in her face as she listened to her orchestra and the soloists perform, whether they be members of the orchestra or visiting performers. So I think that was very much on her. She really did a wonderful job of bringing people in. And even with her diminutive size, had a remarkable stage presence. Very much my window to Tafel music was in large part because of the connection I could feel with her on stage.
On the new Classical FM, that was Tafel music with soloists drawn from their wind section. John Aberger on Baroque oboe, Dominic Teresi on Baroque bassoon, in a concerto by Johann Friedrich Fasch, led by the woman we are honoring tonight, the late Jean Lemon. Before that, a handful of Tafel music musicians playing the Allegro from Handel's Trio Sonata Opus 5, Number 4. And in between, we heard the voice of David Kilburn sharing his first experience at a Tafel music concert. That sense of engagement and the personal connection which he felt with Jean from the stage is not unique and is reflected by the enormous, fiercely devoted audience Tafel music has grown since those early days. At the beginning, they did 10 programs a year with one performance each. When Jean retired in 2014, the norm had long since become 10 programs a year with 5, sometimes 6 performances apiece to accommodate audience demand. And they've always stayed at Trinity St. Paul's, not wanting to sacrifice the intimacy, which they've always seen as essential. Rather than move, they renovated the sanctuary, and in 2013, the newly minted Jean Lemon Hall was opened. But starting an early music group in the 80s wasn't as easy as this story makes it sound. We'll hear about that after the break. The arrival of the Queen of Sheba from Handel's Solomon on the new Classical FM. We are honoring Jean Lemon tonight, Tafel Music's music director of 33 years, the trailblazer who took them from fledgling ensemble to international renown. If it seems that what I'm presenting here is a history of Tafel music, it's because Tafel music is synonymous with Jean, and vice versa. This is not an accident. Here again is Ivars Torrens.
In the first days of Indigo and Chapters, whatever it was called back then, they had a wall that might have been behind the cashiers or sometimes over at the cafe. And they have this huge wall with names of all sorts of Canadian icons. There's Gordon Lightfoot, and you'd be standing there sipping your coffee or at the checkout, and you see the name of Margaret Atwood or Leonard Cohen, Robertson Davies, Karen Kane, Buffy St. Marie, R. Murray Schafer, the Bare Naked Ladies. And there, in amongst all of them, was Tafel music. Not Jean Lemon, but Tafel music. And for me, that represents how Jean's leadership worked. Everyone knew that Jean was the leader. This was her brainchild. But her leadership was always that Tafel music was first in front of the audience.
Tafel music was almost her child that she reared, and we went through our infancy and our childhood and our teenage years and all of that. I mean, who knows? Maybe someone else would have taken up the helm, but it was Jean that did, and without her, it couldn't possibly have become what it was. She really shaped it, and a large part of that shaping was sharing that responsibility with all the other musicians on stage and the staff and so on. There was no sense of dictatorship or autocracy or anything. She really went out of her way to make sure that she was supported and that she supported others. I give her a lot of the credit for that, because she could have, it could have been the Jean Lemann Orchestra. It would have still been good, and she would have been entirely capable, but she chose not to do that, and therefore created an ensemble that is remarkably collegial and collaborative in all of its aspects.
That was Tafel Music harpsichordist, librarian, and Jean Lemann's former assistant, Charlotte Nettiger. And before that, Ivars Torrens, with their reflections on Jean's relationship with Tafel Music. Getting any music group off the ground is difficult, and it's an achievement when it works. But imagine trying to do that when you're not only a new group of unknown youngsters, but also that what you're offering is, on paper, very esoteric. Tafel Music is a period instrument ensemble, which means that they've gone back to the equipment as it was in the 17th and 18th centuries, which essentially makes their instruments completely different than their modern counterparts. This is coupled with a commitment to researching and recovering all the unwritten rules and conventions of that time, all the stuff that's not on the printed page, but that would have been commonly applied back then, but has since been lost. The logic in this approach is widely accepted now because of people like Jean, but in the early 1980s, not so much. Here's former Tafel Music bass player and program designer Allison Mackay.
Oh, it all felt like a very alternative big experiment. We thought we were real cutting edge. Well, I think exciting things have been happening in Holland, of course, and in England, but not perhaps so much in North America. And there hadn't been the kind of continuing tradition of performance practice being passed down from generation to generation. So most things about how you played had to be discovered, recovered from reading and studying and finding out about old instruments. And so it was a very exciting time, but it was a pretty ragtag little group of people.
In the early days, it was very difficult to get taken seriously. And it was not just a fringe thing. It was kind of a lunatic fringe thing. There were comparisons of Baroque strings to cats howling. I could quote you reviews, but I won't. And some of that was really the audience's ears needing to get tuned. Some of it was, frankly, some of the musicians in the early days were learning their instruments. Not talking about Tafel Music players in particular, but the genre was quite new. Jean and Christina, and I think Ivars and Charlotte too, had gotten their training in Amsterdam. So it was Europe where it was seen as a much more respectable form of music making.
I still remember, even two decades into the creation of Tafel Music, European critics saying, well, what could this group from Canada, from the land of lumberjacks and Mounties, literally, they said that, what could they possibly know about European Baroque music and how to perform it, you know, with period instruments? And back home, we would be dealing with the whole idea, the growing pains of period instrument ensembles, and Toronto critics talking about how we were in the bohemian digs and in the world of crocs or you know, tofu and all of, it was really like we were the hippies of the musical world.
Tafel Music under Jean Lemann with Telemann from his Don Quixote suite that was Tilting at Windmills, which is what a lot of people thought Tafel Music was doing when they first began presenting their historically informed performances on period instruments. But eventually, people came around. not just to the sound and different approach to the music they'd been hearing a certain way for so long, but they even became open to unfamiliar and wild music by composers they'd never heard of before. Here again are Tafel Music harpsichordist Charlotte Nettiger and Tafel Music Chamber Choir director Ivars Torrens.
I think there has been a spirit behind the programming, and it was very much in her hands, but working in collaboration with orchestra members, with always open for new ideas. But to be honest, a lot of the new ideas came from her, just always percolating. So in later years, we had amazing programming by Allison Mackay, but that was fostered by Jean. But then sometimes she would surprise me, and I think the other people around the planning table, with ideas that she'd just been percolating on. So exploring the life and works of Saint-Georges, Black composer from the Caribbean who settled in Paris, and just really took that on as, I want to know more about this, reaching out to musicologists and so on. And she did that legwork on her own. Also a program dedicated to Salomone Rossi, Jewish composer from Italy, early 17th century. And again, she reached out to people with experience and knowledge of the repertoire and really thought through, how can I present this in a way to the audience to make them curious and excited and bring something new? So always in the back of her mind, these ideas.
I think what happened very early on is that our audience, which became so first intrigued, but then so loyal, had a trust in what Jean would present. It's like going into a fine restaurant and being a regular and having a trust in whatever is going to be served will be of the highest quality. And one night the chef decides impromptu to try something. It's not on the menu. They serve it to you. And you experience this new dish, new flavor, and you're hooked. So it's a confidence that was built that, of course, you know, we were there for their meat and potatoes, chestnuts, whatever you want to call them, Bach and Handel and everything. But we could present them with, you know, Zelenka, a Zelenka mass. And now they're hooked. When are you doing Zelenka next?
On our special broadcast honoring the late Jean Lamon, that was one example of some of the wild, new, old music Tafel Music brought to Toronto. That was by Heinrich Ignaz Franz von Bieber, a violin virtuoso from the 17th century whose music lay dormant for generations, but is so rich in the experimental ethos of his time when the violin was still young. It's called the Scordatura Sonata. Scordatura, referring to the other-than-standard tuning of the violin strings, creating that amazing, sinewy sound. This is the kind of stuff early music ensembles in Europe were rediscovering, and which Tafel Music brought to Toronto audiences for the first time. A strong connection with the thriving early music scene in Europe was an important asset to the far-flung group in multiple ways. Here are Audie Lockie and Ivars Torrens.
Part of it was the people that Tafel Music had attracted right at the beginning, like Franz Bruggen, who went with us to New York. And that opened many doors for us. And how did we get connected with artists of that ilk? Jean had worked with everyone. Jean knew everyone who was everyone in Amsterdam and Vienna and London and Paris. So many things happened because of Jean Lamon.
The way things progressed, for instance, Jean invited people who had been our mentors to come and perform with us. But they were more than just guest soloists. They became our teachers as well, and we learned from them. They helped guide us. They took us under their wing, take us to Europe, kind of on their name, on their calling card, to introduce us to Europe.
Tafel Music's mentors from Europe make up a who's who of period music founding figures. The Kauken brothers, Sigiswald, Bartholdt, and Wieland are living legends, as was recorder virtuoso Franz Brueken, all involved with Tafel Music, and especially Baroque cello trailblazer Anner Bylsma.
Anner was incredibly special in his relationship with us. Uncle Anner, we called him. And he did so many tours with us and so many recordings. And we learned how to take risks through his idea of music making. He always said, you won't know if you can fly unless you run to the edge of the cliff and jump. And you might fall, you might crash. But then if you don't try, you won't know. And we soared so many times with him. You can hear that in the recordings with Anner.
A movement from the Cello Concerto No. 10 in D by Luigi Boccherini. Tafel Music with soloist, friend, and mentor Anner Bylsma, who is famous for his groundbreaking work with the Baroque cello. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. This is a special edition of A Little Night Music dedicated to Jean Lamon, who died on June 20th. As the early music movement grew and new stars emerged, by then, Toronto had become a regular tour stop for a parade of wonderful soloists and guest leaders from the global early music community. Thanks to Tafel Music, artists you would normally have to travel to Europe to hear, sooner or later come right to us at Trinity St. Paul's in Toronto. Likewise, Tafel Music's own international touring exploded. We will hear about that after the break. And interestingly, Michael Jackson is involved. Stay tuned. Among the many lauded soloists to join Tafel Music in Toronto, that was Elizabeth Walfish, among the violinists featured in Tafel Music's recording of Vivaldi's L'Estro Armonico Concertos. Tonight, on the New Classical FM, we are honoring Jean Lamon, longtime director of Tafel Music, who died last weekend. As immediate as this loss is to Toronto and to Canada, this is not just a national story. The breadth of Jean's impact and presence makes her passing international news. Radio France honored her earlier this week with a two-hour special calling her La Grande Dame du Baroque, which she was, single-handedly doing as much to promote the performance of and appetite for early music as any one person can claim to have done. She simultaneously anchored Canada's cultural presence worldwide, nourished hundreds of music makers and thousands of listeners. How this came about was part doggedly hard work, part good timing, and part good luck. Audie Lockie told me her initial vision was for Tafel Music and Jean Lamon to be like the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields and Neville Mariner. Now, back then, and even now, but especially back then, they were ubiquitous on classical radio. And to grow as a group and book tours, in any case, you do have to have recordings. To be like the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, you have to have a lot of recordings. Audie did the work to connect with a certain producer, the now legendary Wolf Erickson. Then, timing and good luck came into it, and this is the part that involves Michael Jackson, sort of. I'll let Audie tell it.
Wolf Erickson moved to Sony Classical. They were being fueled by money with Michael Jackson. They had a lot of money to spend, and they were smart enough, because they're based in Europe, to understand that Baroque music was going to be really significant. So they hired Wolf Erickson to create something called the Vivarte label. So Wolf loved Tafel Music, and he told the Sony people that he really wanted to do major recordings. And then it took me a year to work on that contract negotiation with the lawyers at Sony and Wolf Erickson in the background and Jean LeMond saying, this is the way that it's going to work. So every step of the way, she was there in the wings, and I tried to be sure that what she needed would be available to her. The rest, as they say, is history. It was extraordinary. And I'm very proud of what we all accomplished. And those years were very, very hard because as a musician, you know, Kathleen, what it means when somebody tells you, this year we're making 8 CDs. Hello?
Yeah, that's a lot.
And doing 12 weeks of touring and doing about 50 concerts in Toronto. The Tafel Music musicians and Jean worked like demons in those years. They really did.
Geminiani played My Tafel Music under Jean LeMond, a movement from his Concerto Grosso, Opus 2, No. 5. That was from one of Tafel Music's 40 or so recordings on the Sony Vivarte label, made in the 90s under their generous contract with Sony, apparently made possible by money from Michael Jackson. I wonder if he knew he was making some early music dreams come true. It is this opportunity set up by Jean and Audie under which Tafel Music's presence and reputation soared internationally. As with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, they became ubiquitous and one of the first names to come to mind if anyone anywhere on the planet said Baroque Orchestra. But the benefits were so much more than just notoriety, and this is where the timing comes in, because arrangements like this with record companies are a thing of the past.
In the heyday of Sony's days, where the sky was, Mars was not the limit. We could go anywhere and they would be supporting us. The money flowed from Japan and Sony.
It's like talking about touring before COVID and what touring will be in the future. The Sony recording protocol that we were able to achieve gave us a tremendous amount of financial resource to rehearse in a way that you'd weep if you could hear how many weeks we could spend on a recording. And we could do that in Europe, and Sony would be paying for all the costs associated, hotels, per diems. It was a wonderful way to make a record, because the pressure that groups face now when they have to do their own fundraising sometimes, the recording companies, very few and far between do they come in to work with an orchestra. So we had the privilege of bringing in enough money to help stabilize the organization through the extensive recordings and touring, which of course I was able to patch together along with the recordings. And touring and recordings went hand in hand. This naturally was part of the vision that Jean and I developed together in the early days.
That was the third movement, the Menuetto, from Mozart's Jupiter Symphony, the Symphony No. 40, in C. Tafel Music was led by Austrian conductor Bruno Weil, and that relationship is another happy outcome from the Sony arrangement that we'll visit later. You're listening to a tribute to Jean LeMond on the New Classical FM. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. We'll take a short break, and then we'll hear about Jean the Leader. The music of Jean-Joseph Cassanea de Mondonville, the Gloria from his grand motet Dominus Regnavit. That was Tafel Music Chamber Choir and Orchestra under Ivars Torrens. We're honoring Jean Lamond tonight on A Little Night Music, the woman who built an international institution here with Tafel Music and who passed away just days ago. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. Jean's sharing of musical leadership with Ivars is a feature of her style. Let's hear now from Alison Mackay, Tafel Music violinist Tricia Ahern, and Ivars Torrens, who began as a violist with the group.
I think one of the inspiring things about Jean was her style of leadership, which I think must have been unique. In the first place, after, of course, we began sort of like a chamber ensemble, but with her very much in the lead. She was always very much in the lead right through her 40 years. But she was able to retain that chamber music feeling that people could contribute, they could speak. And then, of course, she would make the decision in the end, but people always felt very empowered.
You know, what struck me so much about Jean is that she was so humble. She was so wanting to highlight all the players in Tafel music. She wasn't an egotist. She wanted us to play the solos and she wanted us to shine. She wanted our ideas to be heard. And in orchestra rehearsals, you know, we would stop, we'd play a passage and we'd stop. And then anybody could just raise their hand or just start talking and say, you know, in bar 33, I think, what if we did this? And she would try ideas and welcome ideas from everybody in the orchestra. So it really, we felt so respected, valued as colleagues, rather than just being told what to do. This is what you need to do and do it my way. It wasn't like that at all. It was all about a group effort.
We still do, all have very strong ideas about how things should go. But she had this, created this wonderful balance of being a director who allowed us to participate fully. And if a decision needed to be made, sure, she was the final word on it. Or she would come with an idea and that would be shaped together with our ideas. She was, in the best sense of a director, the conduit for not only the composer, but of the musicians she was working with.
Tafel Music with the Symphonia How Brightly Shines the Morning Star by Johann Sebastian Bach. That was from the Galileo Project, one of Tafel Music's innovative concert designs by Alison Mackay, exploring links between music from the Baroque era with the lives and discoveries of ancient astronomers in a fully memorized and choreographed performance. Alison played bass in Tafel Music from 1979 to 2019. Her creative programming work is but one example of Jean Lamond's sharing of the creative direction of the group. Jean likewise helped those beyond Tafel Music. An ongoing example is another Toronto cultural institution, Opera Atelier, Toronto's Baroque Opera Company, which was founded by Marshall Pinkowski and Jeanette Lajeunesse Zing in 1985. We met them earlier in the show. Hear them now describing just how much Jean's support meant for them.
We were introduced to her, interestingly enough, by Peggy Sampson. And Peggy had seen us doing demonstrations of Baroque and Renaissance dancing at the museum and said, there's someone that you must meet. And so this wonderful connection sort of went from there. And then I seem to remember Jean was invited to our apartment after a concert that they gave in a church close to us. And we actually sort of sat down, met each other and talked for the first time. And none of us had any idea of where it was going to go. It's been the most astonishing journey and of course, a journey that simply could not have happened if we hadn't had Jean working with us and encouraging us throughout the entire process.
The very first thing we did at the ROM, they had commissioned us to do something Baroque for the Bach Tercentenary in 85. She generously got a group together for us, took no pay, and shortly thereafter began helping us in other ways, like suggesting that David Follis be our music director, because a group of like what we were planning to start, and just starting about then, needed a full-time music director. She also introduced us to some of the international conductors that we ended up working with shortly after, including Andrew Parrott and Mark Minkowski.
Yeah, so she really was the catalyst for so many big moments with us. When we first said we wanted to do Mozart on period instruments, the first person in there was Gene saying, absolutely, it must happen. And it was a huge, huge risk. Right up until Gene's retirement, we were talking about where do we go in terms of 19th century repertoire. She was the person who was pushing for Freischutz and was so excited. We've spoken with Gene about Tafel music playing Debussy and talking about the link that you find between the great late 19th century and early 20th century French composers and the French Baroque. She was 100% there, always pushing, always exploring. And when you have someone of that caliber who listens to a crazy dream, like Mozart was a crazy dream, you know, 25 years ago on period instruments, then people sit up and listen. You know, she was willing to put herself on the line and be the stamp of approval. Gene was always the person to say, why not?
Marshall Pinkowski on the impact of Gene Lamon on the growth of his own company, Opera Atelier. The long-standing relationship between Opera Atelier and Tafel Music has helped to complete the 18th century musical picture here in Toronto. Opera is, after all, an invention of the Baroque and its theatrical ethos at its very heart. Before that, we heard Tafel Music play the overture to Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio, one of the many Mozart operas they have performed with Opera Atelier over the last 3 decades. And while Toronto audiences can now take for granted the opportunity to hear Mozart on period instruments, as Marshall said, it was unheard of when they began. Just one of the many thresholds intrepidly traversed with Gene Lamon's leadership. One could say that she came by it honestly. Her teacher, after all, was none other than the man whom all Baroque violinists can now thank for their gut strings and convex bows, early music pioneer Sigiswald Kauken. Here he is with Mozart. On the New Classical FM, the Molto Allegro from the Sonata in E-flat for violin and forte piano, K481, by Mozart. On forte piano, Luc Devos, and on period violin, Gene's teacher, the Belgian early music pioneer, Sigiswald Kauken. Teaching is another side of Gene Lamon that must not be overlooked tonight. From what I know of her and what those closest to her say, her teaching was precious to her. To share with young musicians, help them through the often awkward transition from modern to Baroque violin, to support them, give them opportunities. So many musicians from around the world have expressed this week how much their time with her has meant to them, whether it be at the University of Toronto, at the Glenn Gould School, at the Tafel Music Baroque Summer and Winter Institutes, and more recently, the Tafel Music International Baroque Academy. I reached out to one of her former students, Tim Haig. He met Gene when he was 15 years old at the Royal Conservatory and became one of her students. I asked him what that was like.
She was intimidating, but in a good way. Like, I would be very nervous. She lived near the Chester subway, so I would take the subway and then I would like walk to her house and just be like, okay, it's okay, you know, just calm down, just breathe. Like, I always loved her and she was always half friend in a certain way, but she was definitely a teacher and kind of an intimidating teacher in some ways. To me, I think it was her high expectations, and it was good because I wanted to do the best I could, but it was also that sort of performance anxiety when you're like, whoa, like this is actually a performance, you know, like you have to show up at your lesson, play the best that you can. And then obviously she's extremely helpful and like patient, but there's something a little impatient about her. And that's what I actually really liked, because I felt like she demanded a lot of me as a student.
Tim Haig speaking of his time studying violin with Jean Lamon, whom we are honoring tonight on A Little Night Music. Eventually, Tim would become himself a core member of Tafel Music Baroque Orchestra, and he says he continued to learn from her, watching her on the concert stage.
I'll just never forget watching her play these slow movements in Trinity St. Paul's, now Jean Lamon Hall, with this beautiful ornamentation. And there was just something very deep and soulful about her playing. And I think that's what I always admired and always felt like I had more to learn from. The Baroque bow, I mean, her control in that Bach slow movement is just incredible. These long, long, long bars of these long notes held. And I felt that that was a challenge for me as a violinist, and then especially as a Baroque violinist, just to have that patience and that long, beautiful, sustained sound. So I really like that about her. That piece does never feel rushed. It just feels like it breathes. There's time to let it breathe. It develops very organically. It's not forced. So there's just something very peaceful and restful about that piece.
Over a measured tread, Jean Lamon spins out a radiant, sad line that might be a wordless aria from a Bach passion. From a New York Times review in 1995, those words about this particular performance, the Adagio from the E Major Violin Concerto by Bach. Jean Lamon, the violinist. We'll hear about more trailblazing dimensions of Jean's leadership after the break. Henry Purcell's Hark How All Things from the Fairy Queen, featuring frequent Tafel Music collaborator and good friend of Jean Lamon's, soprano Nancy Argenta. It's rarely pointed out, probably because she didn't make a feature of it herself, that for 33 years at the helm of Tafel Music, Jean Lamon excelled in a man's world. Orchestral leadership is still the domain of men. There are cracks in the ceiling now, but in the 1980s and 90s, when Jean was building the orchestra, there were none. Yet she broke through, and she did it her way, not with the usual baton in front on a podium, but as part of the group, leading from the violin. There was just one occasion when she quietly changed the spelling of her name from J-E-A-N to J-E-A-N-N-E, so that announcers would stop talking about the person they assumed was that male French conductor Jean Lamon. But beyond this, Jean forged ahead as though those barriers weren't there. And while she didn't talk about it, the culture she created throughout the organization demonstrates that representation matters. We'll hear again from Charlotte Nediger, from Opera Atelier's executive director Alexandra Skocelis, formerly Tafel Music's director of marketing, and former managing director Audie Lockie.
She worked very, very closely with all of the staff. She had close relationships with each and every one, and as did I. So there was also that feeling of not only having the very intimate relationships that were formed within the orchestra and with many of our guests, but also that work behind the scenes. And I think not all artistic directors are allowed that or encourage that relationship with every person on the staff and getting to know them really inspiring them to work and respecting their work and going to them for feedback and input and so on.
I know the musicians obviously were working, you know, so closely with Jean and had a really special relationship. But, you know, even us in the office staff, whether you were a coordinator or a director, it didn't matter. You know, Jean would always say hello. She was always, you know, with that smile, funny, cracking jokes. But it was more than that. The strong female leadership at Tafel Music was just, I think that's something that Jean instilled. You know, it came through with Audie Lockie with Trisha Baldwin. And they really brought that forward. So you always, everyone's voice was welcome. Conversation and collaboration were welcome. And that's the tone that Jean set, you know?
Jean and I were feminists. We were lesbian feminists. We had a personal politic, which was not necessarily something one talked about in those days. You could get fired for being an out lesbian in many places. You may be too young to remember that, but Jean and I were very aware of it. So we were very private about our private lives. But my partner, Eve Zaremba, and Jean and her partner, Christina, and I shared many experiences, many hopes for our lives. And all this helped us create an environment.
One of the former staff members that I contacted over this past few days said that Jean was amazing, that she was standing alone in the boys' club, and we have to give her so much credit for what she did, because, you know, things are changing, but that can't have been easy. You know, and I think a lot of the policies that are in place at TAFL Music now, like over the years, are due to that strong female leadership, that the orchestra musicians' kids coming on tour and people getting time off for having kids. When I was at the orchestra as a staff member, you know, the administration allowed me to do a 4-day week rather than a 5-day week when my kids were really young. You know, I was encouraged, like allowed and encouraged to have kids and come back to work and supported through that. And that doesn't happen everywhere. It absolutely doesn't. So, and again, part of the tone from the top that came from Jean and some of the other fantastic female leaders.
The second not often remarked upon remarkable thing is that not only was Jean a woman in a man's world, very high up in a man's world, she was an enduringly successful LGBT woman very high up in that man's world. I mentioned earlier that she came to Toronto with her partner, Dutch cellist Christina Mahler, who was TAFL Music's principal cellist from their arrival in 1981 until she retired in 2019, and the two of them moved out to Victoria. Again, no fuss one way or another. They took it in stride, but it did lead to some interesting incidents along the way, especially in those early days, the days before Ellen, I might add. Here's Ivars Torrens, who incidentally is married to TAFL Music's harpsichordist Charlotte Nettiger.
I remember in the early years, we weren't in hotels. If we were in hotels later on, we would be paired up. But before that, we'd be billeted. And I remember being Charlotte and I, and Jean and Christina being in the same house. It was a large house, being billeted together. And the woman showing us the rooms and saying to Jean, your room is there, and Christina, yours is there. And they both went, no, we're fine together. And the woman's eyes got very big. But, you know... C'est la vie. Get used to it. I think Christina has been Jean's rock. And to have them, to have a violinist and to have a cellist as the two rocks, and how Christina would always be there and support Jean, sometimes arguing, no, I don't think it should go that way. You know, Jean, really? But there was a real solidity in their relationship and in their relationship with us. And truly, I don't think Jean could have done that on her own. The incredible weight of leadership, and as we grew, that responsibility grew tenfold. And so to have someone in the ensemble, a partner there, was, I think, extremely important and made the ensemble what it was.
Mm-hmm. the famous air by Bach from the Orchestral Suite No. 3, played by Tafel Music. This is A Little Night Music on the New Classical FM, dedicated tonight to Jean Lemon and everything she gave to Toronto, to Canada, and the wider music-loving world. I'm Kathleen Gagioka. When we come back, a look at the lighter side. Stay tuned. The Gallop of Rosinante from Telemann's Don Quixote Suite on the New Classical FM. That was Tafel Music under their leader of 33 years, Jean Lemon. I'm Kathleen Gagioka. This is a special edition of A Little Night Music, dedicated to Jean's memory. There's been a lot that's serious tonight, so let's change the mood for a second, starting with violinist Tricia Ahern, who joined Tafel Music in 2002. And I'll preface this by saying, no one likes orchestral auditions. They are experienced as a necessary evil on the musical career path. Stressful, high-pressure, unmusical situations where you usually have just minutes to make an impression that could determine your livelihood. With Jean, it was a little different.
I flew there, took the audition, flew home, and I came back and I said, wow, that audition was actually fun. It lasted for 45 minutes. It was really long. And, you know, I got to play my, you know, standard solo rep, my excerpts, but then we got to play with everybody. And that was really, really fun. So I remember playing my Costello Sonata with Charlotte, and I thought, oh my gosh, most fantastic harpsichord player ever. So I was just blown away by her. And then we got into a group and played all sorts of excerpts. I remember playing Purcell and sight reading Purcell with Jean beside me and Christina on the other side. And it was just a lot of fun. And I thought, well, if they don't accept me, at least I feel like they got to know me as what I would do in Tafel Music, because I felt like the audition was actually the work that I would be doing, rather than, you know, in modern day orchestras, you know, you play your excerpts and it really has nothing to do with how you're going to, you know, play second violin part in a Mozart symphony or something.
I remember very early on, we had a series of concerts in the concert hall at Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, which was, you know, seemed incredible at the time. And but nobody had any money for fancy dresses. And I remember Jean having a dress with a rather major seam malfunction, and minutes before stepping on stage, it had to be mended with a big roll of orange duct tape that somebody had. So, you know, those days we wore these burgundy, moiré, you know, probably polyester velvet dresses. It was a beautiful dress, but on the outside it was burgundy, and on the inside it was covered in orange tent mending tape, which seemed like kind of a Canadian solution. But of course, she thought this was very hilarious. And she had, especially as a younger woman, a terrible tendency to dissolve in uncontrolled laughter on stage if something funny happened. And that was one of the occasions where she, you know, played beautifully, played like an angel, but, you know, never took herself too seriously.
There was certainly a lot of laughter occasionally on stage, and she was so bad. She got laughing on stage. She could not stop. And of course, once somebody is, and she's like trying to keep it from the audience, but shaking, the violin is shaking, and you couldn't not join. There was, we'd just come off stage and just guffaw. Something funny would happen, or release of tension coming off the stage, and then just laughing full out before we could possibly get back on that stage.
The opening movement from the Brandenburg Concerto No. 4 by Bach. That was Tafel Music with Jean Lemon on solo violin, Marion Verbruggen and Alison Melville on solo recorders. Before that, we heard the voices of Tricia Ahern, Charlotte Nedeker, and Allison Mackay, recounting some of the undisciplined onstage laughing with Jean Lemon. Heaven forfend. Now, one of the outcomes of Tafel Music's time with Sony was a partnership with Austrian conductor Bruno Weil. Producer Wolf Erickson brought them together, and he and Gene hit it off, and it began Tafel Music's foray into later classical era repertoire. When Weil started a summer festival, he made Tafel Music its orchestra in residence. For 19 years, the Klang und Raum Festival was the start to the orchestra's season, a retreat in the historic Kloster Irse in Bavaria. Here, the orchestra got back into shape after a summer off, and at the same time built that repertoire of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven symphonies. I was there the summer they even went into Schubert and Mendelssohn. It was an adventure, approaching Beethoven in particular, as a group whose specialty was earlier music. But let's hear from Jean herself about that.
So usually when people play Beethoven, you're playing it on modern instruments, and you're playing it as a fairly old piece of music. You're used to playing Tchaikovsky, you're used to playing Brahms, and you're used to playing 20th century music, Bartok and Stravinsky. You go back and you play Beethoven, and it feels like early music, if you will. It feels like old music, and it feels like you have to kind of constrain yourself. So instead of feeling like music that's exploding, you feel like you're playing music that's kind of, you have to hold back a little bit because you don't want to go too far. You don't want to be too romantic in your interpretation. So when we play it, we're coming from music that's written before that. We're coming from the Baroque literature and classical. We're coming from Bach and Mozart and into Beethoven, and we can see and feel Beethoven pushing the limits the way you don't feel when you're coming at it from the other angle. So I think both our instruments and our sensibilities mean that we are seeing this as so you I think the audience experiences this too as if you were at the first concert of this music, and it just makes your hair stand straight on end, which is how I feel when we're playing it.
Tafel Music under Bruno Weil with the exhilarating finale from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. I'm in the viola section in that recording, and I can tell you I always had a shot of espresso before that symphony. Just a taste of the relationship between Bruno Weil and Tafel Music, which culminated in a recording of the complete Beethoven symphonies, all 9. We're celebrating Jean Lamont tonight, the leader of Tafel Music for 33 years, who passed away on Sunday. I asked some of her colleagues to give us more insight into this very public figure. Charlotte Nettiger, in addition to being Tafel Music's harpsichordist, worked side by side with Jean as her assistant. Here's what she said.
Very passionate about what she did, combined with a very practical streak, which doesn't always happen. You can get somebody who's very passionate who can't deal with anything practical. She's very pragmatic. This has to happen. I haven't got time for that, so we're going to do this. And she insisted always that she was an introvert. I didn't guess that from working with her. She would explain that she was in her really happy place when she was just at home quietly reading a book.
There's a streak of introversion. You know, she seems like such an open character, but there's also a little bit of, I don't know if it's shyness in her dealing with people, but she never really, I think, liked being the center of attention and was very happy for other people to, from time to time, take the lead or take a solo in the concerto. And I know for me, we had a very beautiful collaboration over special programs that we worked on together. And she was always so happy for everybody in the orchestra, each person, to have a turn to play a solo. And somehow she always came across as a very strong leader, but she wasn't protective of that limelight.
For her retirement concert, we were trying to think of what kind of gift she would like as a retirement gift. And, how do you say thank you to Jean for so many years of building this orchestra from scratch? And it was her idea to have all of us write variations on some Purcell tunes that she had chosen. And so we all got our chance, even in that moment where it's actually her moment, she gave that moment to all of us, and we got to shine, and we got to, first of all, be challenged so we could do our own composing. And then, you know, there was a big frame on the stage, and there's a big picture of, you know, every musician while their variation was being played. And it was, yeah, to me, that's just quintessential Jean, that she was always giving to all of her players a voice.
An example of Jean Lamont sharing the limelight. That was her former student and current Tafel Music violinist Geneviève Gilardeau as soloist in a beautiful performance of Jean-Marie Leclerc from his Violin Concerto, Opus 10, No. 4. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. This is A Little Night Music. Tonight, we are honoring the life and legacy of Jean Lamont. When we come back, my personal memories and reflections on Jean. Stay tuned. Some quintessentially Baroque dances on the New Classical FM, a sarabande, a gavotte, and minuet from Handel's opera Alcina. Once again, Tafel Music under the late Jean Lamont. You're listening to A Little Night Music. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. I'd like to share a bit about what I owe Jean Lamont. There is so much, all of it overwhelming me like an avalanche on the news of her illness and then her passing. Growing up in Toronto, as Tafel Music was becoming a serious presence, the sound of their music was familiar, and as a young musician, I was vaguely aware of this other way of playing Vivaldi and Bach. I remember coaching on a Haydn quartet where our coach, himself a modern cellist, asked us to turn off our vibrato and play it like Tafel Music, so that when I had my first experience with a Baroque bow away at music school in Rochester and fell in love with it, I was able to come back home knowing I could keep going, that there was a community here to enter into. And then the opportunity came. Tafel Music needed a regular extra violist after Ivars left the section to conduct full-time, and Jean welcomed me in. I went to her house and played for her, some semi-informed version of solo Bach. I played duets with her, and she took me on. I was in no way an expert then, but she trusted I would learn. And did I ever? 11 years playing so much repertoire in this informed way, rehearsing it, chewing on it, getting the technique into my body, and paying my rent with it, an incredible on-the-job education, which is a big part of the musician and broadcaster that I am today. And it's what I bring to my work in my musical family, Ensemble Masque, a group that is part of my life because of Jean, because of another young musician, Masque's founder, Olivier Fortin, whom she brought into the fold and helped to grow. It's through Tafel Music that he and I met. It's just one example in 10,000 of the kind of connective tissue Jean has been in the music world. And the places we went, playing Mozart in some of the most stunning 18th century rooms, including the hall where his own father had gone to school in Augsburg, and for audiences who owned this music, who embraced this Canadian group bringing their heritage to life. These are experiences I will never forget. And there was the exposure to guest artists, some of the best in the world. I could literally walk from my annex apartment to make music on the Trinity St. Paul's stage with Karina Gauvin, Rachel Podger, Robert Levin, Richard Egar, Sigiszold Kaukin, just some off the top of my head, and one I will never forget, English soprano Dame Emma Kirkby. She has a long relationship with the group and with Jean, and several years ago she was invited to perform a concert full of music of her choice. Amazing to share the stage with this legend, but best of all was the encore, where she sat down at the front of the stage alone with lutenist Lucas Harris, and we got to sit in silence and listen to her sing Henry Purcell's An Evening Hymn, a poignant song about leaving this world with peace. It was magical. We gave that program 6 times, and each night this moment was as sacred as the last. And when each performance was over, when normally there would be the din of our random chit-chat as we walked off the stage, there was silence. nobody wanted to interrupt the music still swimming in our ears. For these moments, and for so many other, more than I will ever be able to count, I thank you, Jean. Dame Emma Kirkby singing Henry Purcell's An Evening Hymn. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. This is a special edition of A Little Night Music on the New Classical FM in honor of longtime Tafel Music leader Jean Lamon. When we come back, some final thoughts on her legacy.
I don't think the period instrument movement, the whole historically informed performance idea, would be where it is today without her vision. It also, I don't think, would have had such an easy road to become the norm, right? We're no longer an oddity in the bohemian digs with our open-toed sandals. We're part of the norm, and in a way, that's a challenge now to keep that edge. But I can't see that happening the way it has been accepted without her, without Tafelmusik.
I think Jean's accomplishments and legacy are so multifaceted. Her recordings are heard all over the world. Again, whenever we've spoken to soloists or guest artists, they talk about when they were young and studying perhaps in The Hague or in London, how they listened to her recordings and how they revered her. And then as a teacher, she inspired.
I think Jean has changed. It's important to remember, we take so much for granted in terms of what the musical landscape is now in Toronto, in Canada, and how Canada has been represented abroad. She has changed that landscape across the board. How we're perceived, how we perceive this music, and opening up a whole new world and repertoire of music, both how it's interpreted, but also some of the composers and the music itself. She's changed how we listen to and experience music as Canadians. And that's an incredible legacy for anyone.
The legacy that she leaves me is that if you act with purpose and care about what you do, and if you're inclusive, you can do great things.
It feels to me that the classical music world is experiencing a tsunami of grief. And I think there will be waves and waves. And I hope that this tribute program is only the first. I hope there will be many more ways to pay tribute to an extraordinary, extraordinary human being who was my dear friend.
Reflecting on the life and legacy of Jean Lamon, the voices of Tafel Music Chamber Choir Director Ivars Torrens, longtime Tafel Music bass player and program designer Alison Mackay, Opera Atelier co-founder and director Marshall Pinkowski, Tafel Music Board Chair David Kilburn, and former Managing Director of Tafel Music Audie Lockie. I thank them and all the others who generously shared their time and their thoughts with me in the making of this tribute. Opera Atelier Executive Director Alexandra Scotchless, Tafel Music Harpsichordist, Librarian, and Assistant to Jean, Charlotte Nettiger, Opera Atelier Co-Founder Jeanette Lejeunesse-Zing, and Tafel Music Violinists Tricia Ahern and Tim Haig. Thanks also to the New Classical FM's Program Director Paul Thomas and Producer Faz Kazi for their support in putting this evening together. The New Classical FM's Executive Producer is Moses Neimer. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for joining me on this journey honoring Jean Lamon.